I'm going to ask y'all to do something just because I want to ask y'all to do this. I want everybody to stand up a minute and because we're going to, come on, everybody. This is everybody. All skate. Do y'all remember that from your youth? All skate. I just want us to pray. I want to give thanks for you all as a congregation. Dwayne, we pray for you and the loss of your mom, man. We all come from different places, different weeks, different journeys. But we come in here and there's one God and there's one Lord and there's one faith and there's one baptism. And Jesus Christ loves every one of you here. And guess what? If you're not a believer, I pray before we get done, you'll decide to receive Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. And that's one of the reasons we gather today. And the second reason is this, that those of you who are believing, you've been baptized and you're following, that we keep getting better week after week, okay? And I got good news today. Guess what? A lot of y'all getting better. Brooks, you getting better. What do you think? In spite of Auburn losing, you are getting better. So let's pray. Lord, today, I just want us to learn how to give thanks. Learn how to become grace and peace and show that to the world. And so, God, I pray that you would inspire us to be who you've already made us to be. And may we embrace that in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. First of all, great thanks. I thank everybody for being here today. And today we're gonna look at, sometimes you need to observe people that get it right. How many of y'all learn from people that get it right? I got John and Christina here. They're good friends of mine, and they've been married for a long time. Like, 54, John? 54 years? Don't get it wrong, John, when I'm trying to lift you up right here. Do not get it wrong, okay? 54 years. So you know what? They become a testimony to me. Whether John's done it right or not, Christine has stayed with it. And guess what? So they become an example. Since I want to stay married, guess what? I listen to them. I go talk to them. I go, and we celebrated their 50th anniversary together. And I was like, John, man, that's incredible. In a day and age where, you know, people get divorced because they wore the wrong tennis shoes, this is amazing that you've stayed together. So I learn from people that what? I get it right. So I just want to encourage y'all. If y'all are having marital problems, the best place I've seen is go talk to somebody that's been married for a long time. Now, I don't want to offend any therapist, but that's better than a therapist that's been divorced 10 times. They know how to what? Do it. And so I'm going to bring you to this letter where they were getting it done. And it's one of those letters in the Bible where Paul says, hey, good job. This is the way you ought to be. I thank you. And let's continue on. So for about the next 7 or 8 Sundays, we're going to be looking at, this is who we need to be in Christ. This is the way we show the gospel. This is who we are because Jesus is who he is. Pretty cool, isn't it? So go with me. If you got your Bibles with you, that's cool. And if you don't have your Bibles with you, please don't panic. That does not mean that you're an unholy person. It just means you didn't bring your Bible. And we're equipped here with the big screen Bible, okay? It's a little new times here. So if you'll either pull out your pad or your big screen or just listen and look, okay? I think my Bible is over here. I found it. Hallelujah. Philippians 1, I want you to hear this. You ready? Earl, I'm doing it right. You and Cindy have done it right. You've loved the Lord for a long time. People have done it right. And I want you to know in a world where everybody points out everybody doing it wrong, there's some people that do it right. And so I want to take a reverse approach to our technique in the world today. We're always talking about what's wrong. How many of y'all find that? We're always talking about, the news is what? It's 23 minutes of what's wrong. But I want you to know that there's a lot of what's right. And there's a lot of good still going on. How many of y'all believe that there's a lot of good still going on? Elizabeth and I were traveling this week, and I was speaking in Phoenix. And sometimes, you hear the report of the next generation, and, the sorriest people who ever lived on earth, never going to make it, da-da-da-da-da. And I'm sitting by this 31-year-old entrepreneur guy, And for some reason, I love to hear people's stories. And people talk to me. I don't know why they do. They just talk to me. And so I'm sitting there. I say, hey, how you doing? What are you doing? He said, what are you doing? And he goes, what do you do? I said, well, I talk a lot. And so he was from Nashville. I knew his pastor. And eventually we started a relationship. And he talked about his journey of investing his life so that others might get better. And in that, Kyle, I thought about you. Thought about you and Megan. I thought about other young couples. I thought about, you know what? There's a lot in the next generation that gets it. In Hillview, here's what I want to tell you. We got a lot of 20 and 30-somethings here. And I want to tell you, we want to be a church that helps you all get it and get on with it. Get it and get on with it. So I see a great future in spite of the world going to hell. What do you think about that? In spite of things going crazy, I still think God put stability in there. Now, listen to Paul. Now, this is going to blow you all away. Apostle Paul's writing. He's in jail. He's in prison as he pens this letter, as he speaks it to the scribe. It's pretty cool. Paul had one of those series before they got indented. The Apostle Paul, later on in his life, his eyesight went bad. You know what I'm talking about? Like on your cell phone, if you got one of them Apple phones, you know, you push the little button and you can talk your text now. But you got to be really careful with that because sometimes it says things you didn't say. And guess what? So Paul is scribed. He's telling, write this letter to this church at Philippi. Write this letter. And I want you to just hear some things today that come out of it. And I hope we ring them true in our lives. Show these things. Now, this is Super Bowl Sunday. How many of y'all glad it's Super Bowl Sunday? And I know that you all love the Lord and know the Broncos are going to win. And so I'm glad that you all have that kind of vision and insight and things that are done well. You're not going to be, Peyton Manning's an SEC quarterback. I've already told Jamie, you know, brother Dr. Ward, bless his heart. He goes, who do you think's going to win? I said, I know who's going to win. He said, what do you mean, you know? I said, Peyton Manning, University of Tennessee, SEC quarterback, done. He goes, what about this year? I said, we've had one flaw in the last 15 years, and you bring that up, Ward. But I said, I want to let you know, that was an ACC quarterback that won the national championship this year. It wasn't a Big Ten one. Now, I know you're going to quote me. Back from 1913 to 1923, the Big Ten was great. I said, there were only 10 teams back then. That's why they were great. Okay, let's look. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus. To all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and the deacons. Guess what? Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. What a greeting. I just want to say something real quick about a greeting. I love greetings, so I'm not going to stay here too long or I'll preach too long on it. Talk to me here a minute. What? That's two verses. What name did you hear? Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ. You say, what? No, Lord Jesus Christ. Two verses. Welcome in Jesus. It's because of Jesus. We're going to stay in Jesus. It's about who? Jesus. That's what I love about Paul. He's always about Jesus. In church, I want to let you know, it's because of Jesus we live this life. Amen? How many of y'all believe that? Because of Jesus, I get to live this life. I'm sure not forgiven on my own. I don't know what's happened. Elizabeth and I, we've gotten older now, and we got like younger couples come up to us, and they go, man, how do y'all stay married? I don't know what this means. I hadn't fully deciphered this yet, but Elizabeth goes, it is only because of Jesus Christ. And I kind of look at her, I said, what about my debonair personality? And she goes, it is only because of Jesus Christ. And really it is. It's forgiveness and mercy and grace and being able to get on in spite of. And these are some of the ways that we live because Christ is in our lives. Dwayne, when we have a tough encounter and we got to say see you later to a loved one, you had to do that this week. That's real. Okay, there's no pretend stuff in here. But guess what? We got to say see you later because of who, brother? Jesus Christ. Dwayne's mom passed away. Some of you all had loved ones pass away this week. And guess what? We get to say, I'll see you later. Because of Jesus Christ. And here's what I love about those of us. Guess what? We get to say, I'm going to see you again. How many are glad you're going to see each other again in Jesus Christ? If you don't mind, if you just look at somebody close to you and say, you're not going to get rid of me, compliments of Jesus. Go ahead and just tell them, you're not going to get rid of me, compliments of Jesus. Now you understand it. Brian, you understand it. Amen? Watch this. Whether we want to be or not, you and I are going to be brothers in Christ for eternity. Make sense? Even if we live on two sides of heaven, Brian and I get along. I'm just using this for illustration. Even if we live on opposite sides of heaven, we still live where? Heaven. Now, that's what I want you to see. All right, church. We got to get Jesus in the forefront, and I want you to note just some things out of the introduction. We need to greet people in the name of Jesus. We need to realize that people need a relationship with Jesus. That's very powerful. The Holy Spirit ought to bring that out of us. That's showing it, okay? Secondly, I want you to note this. Look at this. To all the saints in Christ, the saints are more important than the leaders. Cormac, you played basketball. Who was more important, the coach or the players? I knew you would say that since you were the center. I mean, yeah. But it was a long time ago before you get too puffed up today, all right? Yeah, but guess what? Yeah, you got to have players. Look, Paul knew that. Who does he recognize first? The saints, those that follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he addresses the overseers and the deacons. You see, I think we got that backwards. I think we've flipped that in the last. It's not about pastors. In fact, I just get really nauseous listening to the church today. I'm so tired of celebrity pastors. I'm so tired of people telling me, well, this pastor said this and that pastor said that and brother so-and-so said this and this is a great way and that's a great way. You know what I believe? Jesus. You know what the world needs to hear? Jesus. They don't need to hear what Steve Ayers got to say. It needs to hear what Jesus has to say in Steve Ayers. Jesus. It's about Jesus. So now that that's established, I want us to understand something. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for all of you. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy. That's pretty cool. One of the things I love being your all's pastor. I hope you enjoy coming to church sometimes, but I think there ought to be joy among those of us that follow Christ. What do you think? I don't know who created this dill pickled religion, but I remember going to church. It looked like everybody was ticked off. Y'all ever been to one of those churches? I mean, when I was a little kid, they were sitting here, you know, let us rejoice in the Lord. By God, I ain't rejoicing. I ain't doing nothing, brother so-and-so says. Who's he think he is? I mean, I'd look around. And then people would say it's the most exciting message in the world, and I would look around and half the congregation was asleep. No, there's God. Listen, if we're going to really show the world, we got to get real about this. I thank God for y'all. Wherever I am in the world, they go, what do you do? I said, man, I hang out with some of the most crazy loving people in the world. It's called a church. And I thank God for this church. And I thank God for many other churches. I thank God for every church that loves Jesus. Amen. Now, I'm not into churches that don't love Jesus. I mean, I'm straight up kind of person. I'm not, you know, if you don't love Jesus, then you've missed the point. You go, well, I go to a church that has cool music. I say, whoopity-doo. That's my theological response to a lot of things. It's real sophisticated. Whoopity-doo.
Well, our pastor has 2 PhDs.
And guess what that means? He's really dumb to spend that much money twice. That doesn't have anything to do with what? With what? I give thanks. Paul's, watch this. And the reason I say that, what I love about the Apostle Paul, he's an intellectual. He's an intellectual. And I think sometimes we get puffed up in academics. I love academics. Okay, I went through and got all my alphabets. So I could be like Paul and say, I consider that rubbish for the sake of knowing Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. If Jesus is the starting point, then everything else is okay. But Jesus has got to be what? The starting point. That's why he thanks God for them. And he makes their joy complete. Now, I want to give you 3 areas this week to touch on. I think we need to be a people that give a little more thanks. What do you guys think? I think if we're not careful, we become addicted to bad news. And Chris, I'm not busting on the news station. And Chris, I really encourage you. I thank you because guess what? In the mornings, you always try to bring a little good news, even if you get in trouble for it. No, but you do. And sometimes you say things that are good news and it really rubs people wrong because, you know, you might say, you know, God's made this day. Oh, you can't say God on TV. Who said? I want to know who made up all these rules. I think it's time for the church to lovingly get in the face of the world and say, you know what? We're going to love the hell out of y'all whether you like it or not. Period. We're going to bring heaven to earth. Now, one of the ways you bring heaven down, you got to be thankful in spite of. This blows me away. Paul's writing a letter in prison. I think about that sometimes. Man, if God, and guess what? I used to think, man, what would it be like to be in prison and write a letter? This is crazy. This is the first time in my life I realized there may be a day in my life I could be in prison in this country for preaching this gospel. I sound so weird. But we tolerate everything but Jesus. I mean, Jesus gets people mad. I get people mad. I mean, I look at him and say, well, I follow Jesus Christ. Well, I think you're a closed-minded bigot. I said, I may be, but I'm a blessed closed-minded bigot following Jesus Christ. I'm a bigot headed to heaven. Wow. I mean, that's like the big words now. You know, just call somebody a racist and bigot and they'll leave you alone. Like, that's the default system. But I think, guess what? We in the church need to be a little bit better. Our behavior needs to get better. We need to give thanks. And I want to give you three places this week I want to challenge you to. Let's practice some of these things. First of all, I think you need to give thanks in your family. Let's start there this week, okay? And listen, if you're married, one time this week, you ought to tell your husband and your wife you're thankful that they're there. Just tell them, surprise them. Or thank them for cooking you a meal. And if he doesn't burn anything, that's even better. Thank you for being, I'm serious, this is real stuff. If you start doing it, it'll change your life. I thank Elizabeth every morning. I say, honey, I thank you that you're still here. Especially after we've had a big fight before. I've woke up in the morning and go, well, she's still here. I'm in it one more day. Amen? Thank God for being together. How many of y'all thank each other for being together? Now, if you have children, parents, blow your kids away. Even if you got adult kids. I mean, kids, you know, 50, 60 years old. Call them up and say, hey, just want you to know I'm glad and I'm thankful that God allowed us to be your parents. And hang up the phone. First of all, you're giving thanks, but it's really messing with them. They'll spend the next 3 days wondering what they've done and what you're up to. What did they call out of the blue for? Why in the world would they say something like that? Why are they giving thanks for me? We need to give thanks in our families. Now, and the next thing is this. We need to give thanks in what God has made us to do. I'm thankful for everything y'all do. I mean, I really am. This is a cool place. Y'all do so many things in this church. How many of y'all realize that there's not anything in this church that we can't do? If your heart goes out, we got people that thank you. Doc, we can deliver babies here. We got a lot of people that know how to get pregnant here. You can see that. There's a lot of things that people are about. Amen? We build stuff. I want to commend you all. I thank God for you 30-something, 20-somethings. I want y'all to know the world's not going to hell. The world is got a vision. This generation's getting a vision, and I'm on team 2030-something. Now, I had a miscued vision by, I say, some miscued people. I'm meeting 20 and 30-somethings now that are setting the world on fire. I sat next to a 31-year entrepreneur who's following Jesus Christ and making a big difference globally. Now, he's not sitting in a little prayer group talking about making a global difference. He's actually delivering food to people that are hungry in hungry countries. And he understands the difference of making things happen. And he's like running several companies, not just blogging about the evils of the world. He hasn't written a book talking about how to change the world. He's become a life that is changing the world. So are y'all. Thank you for going to Guatemala. Thank you that people will come to know Jesus Christ. Thank you that you all are going to watch this 20 or 30-somethings and one old guy, Dr. Cox. He's 40. And guess what? They're doing dental work. They're ministering. They'll be ministering all in Guatemala. That's by the next generation. How many of y'all are excited? I'm excited about that, Andy. You excited about that? That's Nathan's generation. So, church, I want us to wake up a little bit and quit sending everybody to hell. Just because they got tattoos, you know, and look like they've fallen into a tackle box and all kinds of other crazy things, that does not mean. Now, listen, before y'all get too judgmental, if y'all keep being judgmental, I'm going to throw some 70s and early 60s pictures up here of y'all. We wore polyester and thought it was cool. Never forget that when you look at the, huh? Would I guarantee you had one of them six silk shirts that had a collar out to here. You had two hairs on your chest and you buttoned it down, three buttons. Everybody laughing going, oh my God, I had one of those too. Let's pray the next generation continue to change the world. I mean, that's the second thing. Give thanks for where you are and what God has assigned you to do. Okay? Paul said, I thank God for y'all. Your prayers make me joyful. I get excited when I pray about you as a pastor, and I don't apologize for that. I can't wait to Sunday morning to see all of you. I love you. I love what God's doing in you. Jonathan, I'm proud of you. I look what the Lord's doing. Big Red, I'm proud of you. I remember when y'all was just, you know, didn't know much, freshmen. And now you know a little more. You don't know a whole lot yet, but you know more than you did. Amen? And you're coming along. You're making a difference. How many of y'all glad to make a difference? Yesterday I was in the air. Elizabeth and I were flying. We were coming back. I got to be seated next to a fine young man who started in the youth group here when we started. Brooks, great guy. He was on a business trip. He was telling me he got two children now. He's telling me about how he's living his family. And he and his wife are in a different community of fellowship because he graciously is going to church with the tradition she came out of. He looked at me and he said, Pastor Steve, I want you to know what God set in motion is still in motion. I said, Michael, it sure does look like it. And I said, I celebrate the difference you make in our city. I hear your story. Thank God for what you're doing and where you are. Everybody's important. Y'all get that? Everybody's important. You say, well, Pastor Steve, I don't make a lot of money. Neither did Jesus. And if you make a lot of money, be responsible with that. Nothing wrong with making a lot of money. But be responsible in it. Just remember this. If you make a lot of money, you will cash out in the end. I do funerals every week. I've never seen anybody trailing with the card. Even if you got one of them black credit cards, that does not apply at the next dimension. But grace does. Give thanks for what you are. How many of y'all thankful that you got a job? We ought to be. Yeah. Marilyn said she's thankful Brooks has got one. So, yeah, it works. But listen, if you're working, you ought to thank God we get to work. Now, how many stories do we hear about unemployment? What about giving thanks for your employment? You say, well, I don't have a job yet. I guarantee you if you pray about having a job, you'll come closer to getting one. Some of you say, well, I've had some offers, but it's beneath me. That's why you're broke. Wasn't beneath those chicken boys. They had a drive-in chicken shack over there in Georgia. Drive-in chicken shack. A fried chicken sandwiches. Nobody had heard of a fried chicken sandwich because it was native to Georgia. You all know that today as Chick-fil-A. They've done all right. They even ticked the whole world off and have still done all right. What do you think? You know why? They gave thanks for who Jesus was in them instead of listening to the crowd. Paul says, I give thanks for you all and I pray. Third thing is this. Give thanks in your city for something. Give thanks in your city for something. Those three areas, okay? Your family, your job, your career, your school, wherever you are. And then the third thing is, man, give thanks for something in this city. Let's just try that this week. I give thanks for you. See how that comes out of that scripture? Always, in every prayer of mine, Paul says, because guess what? You all are making my prayer with joy. I see that in you all. So guess what? There's this moment we're going to learn. We ought to be a joyous people. I don't know about y'all, but my sins have been forgiven. How many of y'all that makes you more joyous? Now, let me tell you how powerful that is, too. You know, oh, Pastor Steve, I messed up. How many of y'all have messed up this week? How many of y'all said something you probably shouldn't have said? How many of y'all didn't listen when you're supposed to listen? How many of y'all had to tell everybody what you knew, even though you knew you didn't know anything? How many of y'all done that trick? Anybody pout this week? Anybody pout this week to get some attention? All adolescent girls should have their hands up right now. I thank my God because he's real. Look what he says in verse 4. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. We're in this together. Partnership. You want to see the world become different? It's one person at a time, and you're in charge of your person. Pastor Eddie, I got this crazy idea. If everybody just reached what's in front of them, everything would be reached. I think it's been a lie of the devil. He's got us organizing mass events instead of taking care of personal witness. Just take care of what's in front of you. Because I don't know about you all, my world's Bowling Green, Kentucky. In my world, we have minute marts. We don't have convenience stores. In my world, we fry food to the glory of God. Now, I went out west. When you go out west and you get close to California, they're concerned about their health. Hey, you're saved in Jesus Christ. Fried up. We do. We eat fried foods here. Make sense? I was talking to one of our cardiologists, very trained cardiologist, brilliant man here. We got some brilliant people in the city. I said, why are you in Bowling Green? He goes, fried foods, smoking, and no exercise. This is a dream for a cardiologist. Huh? It's where I live. We like a little country music. We like a little twang. We like to wear jeans. We have work jeans. We have Sunday jeans. Hallelujah. We've progressed. We used to have Sunday overalls and weekday overalls. We've come along. It's where we live. I'm not ashamed of where we live, but more than that, I'm not ashamed of the gospel that lives in us.
Well, that changes it, doesn't it? Look at here, let me show you. This is awesome.
Be sure of God. And I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Here's what I want you to know today. Do you realize that what Jesus has started in you, Jesus will finish in you? So quit giving up. You know what I tell people all the time? You're not done. Young couples come in and say, well, I'll tell you what, I don't like my wife. I said, well, what's the big deal with that? Hang on. How many of y'all have not liked your husband and wife for a moment of time? What's that hand doing up? First one up. Bradford, your wife raised her hand too, or she got her hand full of grandbabies right now? I mean, it happens. Wayne, what are you laughing about? Judy's went up pretty quick too. But here's what I'm trying to tell you. Listen, we stare at the moment of pain. Now, this may be the only insightful thought I have sometimes. We stare at the moment of pain with such intensity, we never hear the moment of grace. And guess what God says? I have saved you. I have forgiven you. I'm going to stay with you. Good decision, bad decision, indifferent decision. The Lord says this, I am faithful to complete the work I've started in you. Guess what that means? When it's all over, we stand in the glory of God. When the final buzzer rings, Jesus wins. How many of y'all believe that? Crazy. Now, hold on. Every once in a while, I have these preaching fits.
Now, my very sophisticated friends tell me, well, now, Dr. Ayers, can you logically explain that? I give them a very profound answer. No. But then I give them a philosophical answer. Who said logic was forever?
I'm going to get heady with you. Our logic only applies for this dimension. This isn't it. And God said, while you're here, I'm going to love you, and I'm going to give you hope, and I want you to rejoice, and I want you to love. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, if you're contemplating following Jesus and asking him into your life, and you say, well, Pastor Steve, if I receive Jesus Christ, are all my problems going to go away? No! How many of you all live with human beings? How many of y'all are in a neighborhood that is a group of potential problems? How many of you all are married? What'd you marry? A problem. And then after that, you drop some little problems out of the situation. And then they go and they join themselves to another problem. And after you're over little problems, they bring their little problems over to your house and leave. It's called life. But guess what Jesus Christ said? I will bring it to completion. He who began a good work in you will absolutely complete it. Believe it. Believe it. Believe it. And I want to show you what happens. Once you start believing, I am sure of this. I just want to tell you, church, I'm sure of this. I know y'all get frustrated with me sometimes because I just say it like it is. And guess what? I just want y'all to know, people get ticked off. I tick people off all the time. They go, do you believe there's another way to heaven other than Jesus? Nope. What, do you think I'm going to hell? Yeah. Well, why? I don't know. Do you believe in Jesus or do you not believe in Jesus? Have you received his glory or have you not received his glory? That's none of my business. But you asked me directions. I gave you directions. Then you want to argue about the directions. Y'all ever seen anybody do that? I do it. How many of y'all got one of them GPSs? You know, one of the things, your navigation system. You know what I'm talking about. Talks to you. Woman's voice. Imagine that. Did y'all ever find that funny? As soon as those GPSs came out, no offense, girls, but had your voice on it. You know why? Familiar. Elizabeth and I argue about directions all the time. Watch this. She's got two phones. And she compares the navigation systems. And then brings me a final verdict from the committee of her navigation systems. And I look at her and I said, honey, I know where our driveway is. I don't need technology to get home. We were in Nashville last night, and she turned her navigation system on. I go, I believe I've done this before. Because those things tick me off, you know what I mean? Turn right in 10 minutes. And I argue with them. But there's some people driving to a pond because their GPS system said, driving to a pond. And they'll be sinking, going, well, GPS said it was right here. But hold on, why don't we believe what God said? God said this, I am going to finish you. I'm going to complete you. I'm going to be about you. It is right for me to feel this way about you. Because I hold you what? I hold you in my heart, for you are partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in my defense. Guys, if they ever lock me up preaching the gospel, don't be too ashamed about that. I probably should have been locked up for some other things. And I'm glad that I hope I'll preach on. I read these letters and I thought, man, if they locked me up, what would I be writing to my church? I'd be writing this. Dear Sheriff, may the grace and peace of God be with you. Get me out of here immediately. Signed, Ayers. Now, Paul. He says, I remember you in prison. I want you to know that they will not take us captive. I want you to know there's not strong enough bars, there's not big enough chains, and there's not crazy enough people to shut Jesus down. We've been through Nero and Rome. We've been through Hitler of the 20th century. And we'll have some more crazy politicians and leaders to go through before it's over with. But Jesus Christ always comes out. Russians couldn't get him. The Germans couldn't get him. And by the way, neither will the people of the United States of America. We're a very young nation to be as cocky as we are. But we better be a nation where the people who follow Jesus Christ speak up. You know what's really changed? The people that follow Jesus Christ have gone silent. They're stealth. I pray all the time that the believers would come out of the closet. We hide our faith. When God calls it, just show it. Now, don't be obnoxious. Don't go petition every sin that's out there. Did Jesus go protest every sin that was out there? No, just go tell them about Jesus. He didn't tell them about sin. He said, tell them about Jesus. I want to encourage you to do that and give thanks all the time about it. Look what it is. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more. I hope that happens to every one of you. Love what? More and more. With knowledge and discernment, so that you may prove what is excellent and be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. Filled with the fruit of righteousness, love, joy, peace, that comes through Christ Jesus to the glory and the praise of God. Y'all got it? Go give thanks. Go be mercy. Go show somebody. Go tell somebody. Go love somebody. And guess what? This sermon tells us this day. May your attitude be that of Christ Jesus. How many of y'all glad to know we got a future? Anybody here glad to know we got a future? Anybody glad to know we got a future? Amen. Talk to me. By the way, we got new people coming to church. By the way, this is not a sit and stare church. It's kind of like a new technology church, interactive. Now, I'm not going to give you a little button so you can buzz whether you like what I say or not. I have one of those called a wife. She eyeballs me if I get out of line. That's worse than a buzzer. It's worse than a shock collar. You ready? Do y'all realize that people are going to be saved today? You came to church today. Thank you for being here. And this is a big deal. Y'all came to church because I don't know if y'all have heard, we're going to have a major blizzard. We're going to be snowed in for weeks. He who says of such things now walks above us on the balcony. I love it. Chris. Hey, I love Chris. Chris, you know, we could probably start new churches if we just took a bet on whether you're right or wrong every Sunday. Run odds here on that. It'd be great. I love y'all. Thank you for being here. Seriously, thank you for being a part of this church. Thank you for being a part of Jesus Christ. Thank you for letting him love you. God's doing something here. First four Sundays, I really sense what God's doing. And if you're in your mid-40s, I want you to really, let's start encouraging the next generation, okay? That's our job. That's you, Lockwood. You're out. No more chrome helmet for you, big boy. You're heading toward the radio and microphone helmet. You're on your way. Let's raise up this next generation. That's our responsibility. Next generation, you got to receive it, and you got to engage it, and you got to live it. Girls, I got a dream for y'all. I want y'all to get married to the right guy. Is that pretty cool? And then guess what? I want you to stay married and have beautiful kids. Now, they're not always going to cooperate, but I want you to be good moms to them in spite of, and make sure they have good dads. And guess what? Works. Young people, you're in a church. It's on your side. And guess what? I hope you invite some other people to realize you understand. You will say, Pastor Steve, you don't understand, man. I had a bum family. I want you to understand all of us get a bum family in some way or another. I want you to know that God brings us through in spite of where we came from. Y'all hear that good news? So give thanks for your family. Give thanks for the job, the gifts you've been given. And give thanks for the city that God's placed you in. But most of all, let's give thanks for the grace that vibrates in us. Grace and mercy to the end. Pastor, it works. I am sure of this, says the Scripture. I want you all to get certain. Stephen, I'm certain God has saved you. Seemed like yesterday. It was up in that baptistry, doesn't it? Neither you nor I had wrinkles at that time. And now guess what God's done? He has painted my eyes with the wrinkles of seeing both joy and sorrow of life, but knowing that I'm sure of this, God, he never leaves. And his love, it never gives up. And it never runs out, nor does it run away. And he will complete us to the end. Amen. Pray with me. God, open our ears and our eyes and our minds and our hearts and even what we can't understand. Help us to embrace. Help us to be obedient in this moment at the altar. And let us receive all that you have in store for us. It's in your name we give thanks. And the church said what? Amen. All right, today, if you've never asked Jesus Christ in your life, here's good news. You ready? You say, how in the world did I get connected to Jesus? How many of y'all believe this? If you ask him, he will. Now, I really want you to hear me because this is where we've been really confused. Some of y'all are going to go, well, Pastor Steve, you don't understand. I drink a lot of beer. I don't even want to hear all that jazz. That's not what this is about. Guess what it's about? Lord Jesus, come into my life and forgive me of my sin. All of us got sin. Amen. I want to show you what sinners we are. There's these Ten Commandments. Y'all ever seen them? In Kentucky, we plant them in our yards. I don't know if it helps the grass grow or whatever we do. We got them in yards in Kentucky. Only state out of 50 states that plants Ten Commandments. And then breaks them. Now, I want y'all to hear something. I'm going to wake y'all up. How many of y'all have heard about income inequality? Anybody heard that on the news? Watch it. Let me show you how vile we are. That's a breach of the commandment. Do not covet what somebody else has. See, we're just naturally sinners. It sounds like a good thing, but guess what the Bible tells me? Don't worry about what somebody else has. You know why people are miserable? They always worried about what? Well, somebody else has. What if this week you rejoiced in what you have received? See, I love my wife. I love my wife. And if I love my wife, then that keeps me from looking at somebody else's wife. Is that too clear? Love your kids. And you say, well, guess what? God didn't give me smart kids. Rejoice that they're there. There's hope in them. Here's another thing. Everybody's smart. It's just not everybody's smart the same way. I don't know about y'all, but my truck's busted. I don't need a neurosurgeon. I need Bubba the mechanic. And he can fix it better than a lot of the technicians. See what I'm saying? All of us got something. Rejoice in it. I just want to tell you, we're all sinners. So quit pointing your fingers and pointing out sins and let's let grace be received. Guess what God says? If you will ask me to forgive you of my sin, here's what Jesus does. He says he's going to enter into our lives. He's going to forgive us, Mark, of our sins. And he's going to connect us to the reality of heaven. And he's going to ensure that we get there. How many of y'all believe that to be true? You're certain of this. That's the gospel. You're certain of this. Let me ask you all a question. Why wouldn't you do that? My friends that are yet to receive Jesus Christ, I just look at them and I go, why? So what are you going to do? Do it your way. Stand before God on the day of judgment and say, God, I think I was a pretty good person. He's going to go, yeah, that's what you thought. Let me point out a few things to you. Oh, you saw that? You remember that? Now, those of us in Jesus Christ don't panic because guess what the scripture tells us? Once our sins are forgiven, he remembers no more. Now, that's for those who follow. Some of you need to get obedient in baptism. A lot of y'all have been baptized. How many of y'all found baptism is not harmful? Sheriff, it helped you, didn't you? You don't wear that hat because you had a baptismal incident, do you? Everything's fine. Baptism's fine. You survived it. It was a confession. You just saw Addie today. She gave a confession of God's grace. It's amazing, isn't it? So today, if you've never been baptized, I'm going to invite you to be baptized. You know Jesus has saved you and be baptized. Amen? Let's get this thing done. How many of y'all ready to get with it? Give thanks this week. Amen? Y'all are wonderful people. But guess what? Only because there's a wonderful God inside of you that is doing a great work where? In you and out of you. Got that, Mosley? Good. All right, let's stand together. This altar's open. In the name of Jesus, just ask whoever needs to come forward. Whoever needs to pray, pray. Maybe you just want to come and pray. It's open to everybody. We have no guests at this point in time. You have gotten your T-shirt. I survived my service at Hillview. So you come right now and just let God touch you, okay? Let's go. It's officers open.